Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to Keith Yomwanzia. He is best known as the president and CEO of the Guelph Chamber of Commerce, but he moonlights every 4 years as a debate moderator. Mwanzia will be called upon once again to use those moderation skills this coming Tuesday with the Chamber of Commerce debate. The four major party candidates will face off with one another in front of a live studio audience at Guelph City Hall, but before that, we will attempt to get inside the mind of the host. Questioning the questioner is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, there's already been some controversy on this coming debate. A number of people, including the four non-main party candidates in Guelph who weren't invited to participate, have expressed disappointment that the full slate will not be taking part in the chamber debate. The response from Mwanzia and the chamber is that they wanted to go deeper into the issues, and there's only so much deepness you can go into with eight people at the table. Still, the argument is that this was an undemocratic move, and being a well-known lover of democracy myself, we do drill into the question quite a bit before getting into the rest of the podcast. But really, this podcast springs from my ever-persistent love of process. How do we do things? Why do they work? Why do people make the decisions that they do? Normally, the moderator is a secondary thought in a debate, the primary concern being that candidates themselves and what they are saying on the issues. But the moderator is the one that asks the questions, and thus decides what issues get the attention in such a public forum. It would make sense, then, to stop, take a minute, and ask what's going on in the head of the moderator before the debate begins. Now, Mwanzia's credentials are readily available, but in addition to being the president and CEO of the Guelph Chamber of Commerce since 2015, he was director of policy and government relations and then interim chief executive officer of the Greater Niagara Chamber of Commerce. He was policy coordinator, then director of policy and government relations of the St. Catharines Thorold Chamber of Commerce, and he was president slash chief executive officer and chair of the board of directors of the Brock University Students Union. He also has a master's of arts in public policy from Brock, so Mwanzia knows his politics. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we dig in with Mwanzia on this debate prep, where he's going to put the emphasis of his questions, how much he's digging into policy binders for each party, and is thinking about the format and how the debate might be different from the last. We also talk about how he will shake things up for the more experienced debaters in attendance, whether he takes the advice of others into account, and why the Chamber of Commerce has a debate in the first place. We also talk about the overlap between the concerns of the chamber and the concerns of Joe Q Public. So I caught up with Keith Yomwanzia earlier this week at the Guelph Chamber of Commerce offices here in Guelph. So Keith Yomwanzia, thank you for joining me today.
Gladly.
So before we get into the mechanics of the debate itself, I did want to ask you about the format and limiting the debate to the four major party candidates, and I have heard your reasons. I am curious, though, it seems pretty predictable that there's always going to be gruntlement on the part of the ones excluded. So, you know, how do you... I'm sure you've heard from the ones who aren't going to be able to participate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you respond to them and, you know, how do you, I think, prepare for that disgruntlement?
Well, you know, this is something that the Chamber of Commerce has done over numerous years. It's not that this is the first debate that we've applied a format criteria. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted to ensure that our format criteria was even better informed, and that's why we wanted to look to the Elections Ontario refund rule as the benchmark that allows for us to say, well, you know, if Elections Ontario has set that as a benchmark for, you know, eligibility to get 50% of your expenses refunded, mm-hmm. it seems only reasonable that we sort of set that as a criteria and then allow for those that meet that threshold to be able to participate. And we did the same with federal candidates, where, you know, Elections Canada has a different threshold, but it does set a rule to say, well, if we are going to refund 50% of your expenses, here's the threshold that you have to be able to meet, and that threshold is set by based on popular vote. So, you know, we wanted to be able to set some parameters associated with the debate. It's a debate, so, you know, in addition to how we will do the moderating, it'll be moderated by me, and you know, people will get X number of minutes for introductions and the ability to be able to respond if someone directs a question at them. So, you know, all of those are how do we make the best use of 2 hours of the public's time and 2 hours of our members' time to be able to really delve into the issues that make the most sense and that will impact the future of our community. So, you know, we set all of those criteria, and you know, those that meet the criteria are able to participate.
There's an element of pragmatism here too, though, that you want to hear from one of the four people who will potentially be the member of provincial parliament.
Well, you know, there are no predictions in politics. You know, we have no idea. But we do want to delve into issues and get policy-based responses, right? We want to ensure that our members and our community are informed by what sort of policy levers one will be able to execute if they're a member of the governing caucus or the opposition caucus. And so, you know, we really need to be able to, you know, we take debates quite seriously, right? These candidates are going to go on the record as having committed to these things for this community, and that means something. And so that's important for us to be able to draw that out on behalf of the community.
I do wonder, though, has it ever been a consideration to do, maybe, you know, we have 8 candidates, so I mean that's a set of 4 and 4. Doing like something like a mix and match, you know, where you can have 2 of the major party candidates, 2 of the smaller party candidates, because you know, one of the things that struck me, and I've mentioned this in other places, that, you know, Juanita Burnett at the social justice debate talked about the communist platform about $20 minimum wage, and people kind of snickered, and she said, well, like $15 minimum wage, that was a pipe dream 3 years ago. So it's, you know, it's not, doesn't happen always, but there are occasions where some of the quote unquote fringe parties are a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yes, well, you know, I would never refer to anyone as fringe. You know, the characterization, I think, is unfair to them. They've decided to put their names forward, and we did not handpick, right? We looked at, you know, the refund rule is based on popular vote, and so, you know, essentially, the people's votes are informing how we select candidates to participate, right? But, you know, we will undoubtedly have more debates. I can think of one next year that we're going to have. And so, you know, for us, we constantly put thought into what's the best way forward for us on our debates.
Okay. I'll leave that there, because I do want to talk about the debate itself. First of all, can you explain why the Chamber of Commerce hosts a debate?
Well, it's a great opportunity to... let me give you 2 answers, Adam, because I think that it's worthwhile for me to do that. I've gotten to know you quite well. What? Answer number one is from you know, us in taking on our role as the lead... advocacy organization in the community, and it's an opportunity for us to put direct questions to candidates and draw direct answers from them. on issues that impact our membership and issues that impact the wider community. You know, an MPP will have significant say in a number of the issues that our members care about, apprenticeship ratios, minimum wage, access to talent, you know, burdensome regulation, all of those things. So it's important that we sort of draw their view on this. And, you know, one of the things that was unique about our debate in 2015 with the federal election and will be unique about our debate this year for the provincial election is that we will seek Guelph-based answers. Everybody gets debate prep from, you know, the leader's office or the campaign apparatus. But we are interested in drawing out what their Guelph responses will be. And so we'll be posing a number of Guelph questions. So that is answer number one and sort of our prima facie obligation to the community as a Chamber of Commerce. Answer number two is that we've historically done it. And so there are some, you know, traditions that that continue on and we embrace them.
Are chamber issues the same as you think of what the wider community is worried about? Like for you personally, are the things you worried about when you're wearing your Chamber of Commerce suit the same things when you're, you know, sitting at home in your deck chair or just, you know, on the weekend when you're worrying about key field things?
Can I give two answers again?
Sure.
So the, you know, as do I think that individuals out there are putting extensive thought into apprenticeship ratios? Maybe not. But companies are putting a lot of thought into that because for them, they are looking to grow their workforce, and apprenticeship ratios mean whether or not they're able to bring on apprentices and how quickly. So it, you know, people may not be thinking about it all the time, but it's you know, our responsibility as a Chamber of Commerce is to look out into the future and say, you know, these things will impact us as a community. Apprenticeship ratios and the ability for companies to be able to grow their talent pool via apprenticeships, that's going to impact our home building industry, that's going to impact our manufacturing industry. And so for us, we're looking out into the future and saying, you may not be thinking about this while you're on your deck chair, but this will be important. You know, this will impact your son or daughter that is looking to, you know, live in this community and work in this community when they grow up. And so, you know, I see that there is a crossover. When it comes to sort of chamber issues and and personal issues. You know, what do I think about when I'm on my deck chair, and is there a difference between that and chamber issues? Of course, you know, things that are going to impact our world in the future, driverless cars, electric vehicles, those are all things that will need to be addressed. Driverless cars, I think about all the time whenever I'm commuting to Toronto. You know, all day, two-way go, I think about just because of the, you know, I don't know if you, the last time you commuted up, but there's always this sort of euphoria that you get when you pass Milton and there's no traffic and you say, I'm almost there, and then you hit sort of that Brampton, Mississauga choke point, and you can be there for, you know, a good 45 minutes. You know, that inconveniences me and inconveniences others, but it has a real economic implication to it. So, you know, there is a crossover between when I'm you know, in a good mood on the way to Toronto and then get into a bad mood when I get into that choke point. And so that personal issue falls very much into all day, two-way go. And when that becomes a reality, I know that there's been talk about all day, two-way go becoming a, you know, it's an inevitability. It'll happen. And you know, 2020 was something that was posted as one of the dates. But, you know, it needs to happen sooner. You know, it's an important part of our economic framework and mm-hmm. how we'll be able to move forward. So there is some, you know, those are, again, those are chamber issues. All Day, Two Way Go is one of our top advocacy priorities when it comes to mm-hmm. When it comes to the province. But, you know, I don't think that, I don't think person X is, you know, having a pint and thinking about All Way, Two Way Go.
Right.
But it is important. And so it's important for us to think about it so that, you know, person X doesn't have to have it on their mind.
Right. You did say that you are looking to do more Guelph-based questions, mm-hmm. or at least how policy impacts Guelph. So how much do you look at platforms then? How deep are you going into that research and pouring over the red books and the blue books and
the green books and the orange books?
Yeah.
You know, we had invited Jack Layton. This was back in the day when I was a student leader. We'd invited Jack Layton to come speak at the university, and you know, I was president of the students' union back then, and we agreed that we would provide the refreshments and the local on-campus sort of NDP organization, you know, sort of demanded that Orange Crush only be served, to which I chuckled and I said, you know, just because we have the leader of the NDP doesn't mean that that's the only... People might prefer another beverage.
You might like a 7-Up. Yeah.
Anyway, no, we have looked deeply into those. We, the Ontario Chamber of Commerce released something about a year ago called Vote Prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've drawn on Vote Prosperity, we've looked at our provincial issues, we've looked at all of the platforms, and then we've sort of matched the questions, because people have been submitting questions since we announced the debate.
Mm-hmm.
We've matched those questions and formatted them in a way that we can raise them with each candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit easier but you know, Mike will have some flexibility. He is the leader of the party.
Right.
And so he'll be able to have a nimbleness maybe that perhaps the other candidates won't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm sure that as part of all of their debate readiness, they engage with their party leaders' offices or the campaign apparatus to say, you know, what can I say and what can't I say? And,
right.
And you know, how can I localize X, Y, Z issue? So we will be working very hard to localize the issues. And as moderator, I'm going to spend the time sort of getting the candidate back on track to give a Guelph context. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to sort of talk about a particular policy point that you know, maybe has resonance or is soundbite worthy, you know, Ontario-wide.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately, this will be somebody that will be serving this community, and we'll need to know exactly, you know, what it is that they intend to do, and be on the record for it, right?
Right. Mike is an interesting case, because he is kind of an experienced politician. He's a career politician. The others, sort of, you know, maybe they've had political roles before, but he's coming to this with a certain higher degree of experience,
right.
I'd say.
Yes.
But I also know that, you know, in the 2015 debate, you were moderating a debate with Lloyd Longfield, who used to do what you do.
Yes.
So he maybe recognized when the curveballs were coming. So in that regard, how do you, you know, in a debate setting like this, where you have, you know, someone who's experienced or maybe has insight that the others do not have, And you're trying to balance that so that maybe you're trying not to, you know where I'm going.
Yes.
Others, you know, you have one person, you're trying to do an egalitarian debate, but you have one person who's a little more
experienced.
Yeah, they've got a little more gameplay under their belt. Yeah.
You know, that will be, there's sort of two sides of that, right?
Yeah.
Because you might have a non-experienced politician that has been heavily debate prepped,
sure.
Right? Because being debate prepped does not mean that, you know, you would necessarily execute well on that. You're just ready to give 30-second sound bites because that's how much time you're allocated, and you're just you're prepped and rehearsed on that.
Right.
So that'll be another element that, as moderator, I'll be looking to identify, and you know, we're going to have an there'll be an opportunity where there'll be sort of a 15-second pushback, where, you know, we will look for specifics. Well, you know, you say X, Y, Z. What do you mean specifically about that, and how does it relate to Guelph?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have tried to develop a debate format this time around that allows for it to be an actual exchange of ideas, an actual debate. You know, I've been doing debates now for a number of years. I sound old, but you know, my first debate in Canada was in 2005. When I was a student leader back then, and we hosted it on campus. And you know, the format that we thought was wise back then was sort of giving everybody, you know, 2 minutes of intros, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, and it seemed more like a round table than it did a debate. So learning from a number of years of elections experience and thinking about how we can actually tease out a debate, push back on ideas, have candidates respond to each other. You know, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, and Mike is, that uncertainty, that sort of disruption will make sure that you're kept on your toes. No one can, there's no rehearsing for that.
Right.
So even those that are heavily debate prepped will face sort of that same disruption and having to think on their feet.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little about the format? I mean, you probably don't want to tip your hand too much, but in terms of how it this one is going to be different from what we've seen before.
So as I mentioned, there'll be the we'll have sort of the standard sort of open and close. You know, I think it's a courtesy, and an important courtesy at that,
right?
For them to be able to express their views uninterrupted, to start off and to close. And then we will have sort of candidate-specific questions where we're looking at people's various colored books and drawing upon those and then pointing the questions in that regard. Or and then we'll also have an opportunity where candidates will be able to engage with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's four, so, you know, sort of two candidates will be able to engage with one another at a time, and we'll do that on a rotating basis where, you know, each of the candidates will be able to engage with the others. You know, I know that beyond Guelph, there's been the various leaders that have taken each other to task, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals had questioned the numbers in the NDP's platform, and so I imagine that there'll be an interesting exchange between the local candidates in that regard. I imagine you know, the recent announcement made by the PC leader about gas tax, sort of coupled with Mike's or the Green Party leaders, Green Party leaders' position on you know, how to fight climate change and pay for it. You know, I imagine those will all be debates that will be engaged in directly, and us having a candidate to candidate direct engagement will allow for that to be teased out civilly.
Well, that's the hope, anyway.
That's the hope. You know, I mean, and it'll be my responsibility as moderator to make sure that they do remain civil to one another. This election will end. I mean, June 7th is not far away.
No,
they will all have to live amongst each other in this community. So, You know, there's nothing to be gained by being uncivil. Guelph is a growing city, but can be a small place at times. And
yeah,
you know, your favorite restaurant, you may find that is also your opponent's favorite restaurant, and you will certainly bump into them.
Yeah, especially the politics community here.
That's right.
The people active are pretty tight-knit. How much do you give the candidates in advance in terms of what to expect? Do you give them anything just to be here at this time? And
we give them very little. Mm-hmm. You know, we want it to sort of be an even playing field. I think even, you know, we've often thought, do we give them a couple of sort of macro level issues that they can research into, and even that itself, you know, we think doesn't necessarily allow for everyone to enter in the same playing field.
Right.
All that they know is, you know, this is going to be a Guelph debate. That means that we're not debating, you know, there'll be several leaders' debates.
Right.
But we're not debating the macro Ontario issues. We're debating how the issues in Guelph fit into that macro Ontario agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so they should be prepared with that. You know, I don't know. I assume that they will be, but we've really tried to make sure that that is the... I think the worst thing would be to have people attend that are very interested in what, you know, will happen for Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's 2 hours of sort of Queen's Park intrigue and, you know, what's going to happen on XYZ issue that might be very far removed from what would be a Guelph concern.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the pageantry, too, when you're talking about the leaders' debate because, you know... Not to cast aspersion, but there are some outsized characters among the party leaders.
Sure.
not sure they can say anything said about Guelph. We're pretty wonkish here. Do people try to give you advice about what to ask and you know?
Yes. you know, I've... again, I try as much as possible not to sound like an aging man, but sort of I've done this long enough to know when I'm trying to be influenced on a particular line of questioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone has said that you need to ask X candidate Y question.
Mm-hmm.
To me, during every debate, that always comes up. To which, you know, I know that they are trying to draw out a partisan embarrassment or a partisan answer. You know, we're a nonpartisan organization, and this Chamber of Commerce will work with whomever wins. And so for us, we work very hard to make sure that our line of questioning and our approach falls in line with that commitment to being nonpartisan. And, you know, if people try and influence a particular line of questioning on a policy issue related to the business community, we'll think about a good way to frame it, but not a partisan line of questioning that's really there to embarrass candidate XYZ or mm-hmm. elevate candidate XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Given your experience, though, in leaving aside the partisan questions and the you know, I guess what could be characterized as gotcha questions, do you worry, given your experience, and that, you know, maybe you get tunnel vision, that maybe you're not thinking about an issue the way, you know, maybe someone coming into the politics sphere isn't, for the first time, isn't thinking about an issue, and maybe a question should be asked in a different way?
That is a great question. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so we have a table of people that sort of vet the questions that are submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And we draw on a sort of cross-section of the chamber to be able to help us vet those questions. Because you're right, I mean, you get into a certain rhythm and tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads you to, you know, only pursue a particular
path of questions, right? I mean, people might, you know, I'm always looking for sort of policy solutions. I want candidates to be able to offer policy solutions. If you say X, tell me what Y policy solution is to that X.
Right.
That might not be everybody's view, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things like you know, recognition outside of sort of a specific policy path may very well be valuable, and it's important that we offer all of those things under what we're doing on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So when the debate is over, what do you hope people leave with? What do you think the goal is? You know, what do you hope people take home with them? Or if they're watching at home, what do you hope they're thinking about after they shut off the TV?
I hope it informs how they vote, right? I haven't decided how I'm going to vote. And, you know, while I will be moderating, I'll also be listening to answers. I am allowed to vote. I think only the Governor General and the Chief Elections Officer are the two people that can't vote in Canada. But Chamber residents are allowed to vote.
So we're journalists, yeah.
So I have not decided, and I hope I leave the debate with a feeling of I'm convinced of who I'm going to vote for. I'm convinced of, and it'll be interesting. You started out asking me about will I be thinking about sort of deck chair Keithio's interests as I contemplate who to vote for, or will I be thinking of sort of Chamber President Keithio's interests?
Who do you vote as?
Who I decide to vote for?
Yeah.
So my hope is that the debate is rich enough that both Keithios are able to feel as though they, but outside of me, I imagine there's deck chair John and and office John and so on. The hope is that people leave with enough information about sort of both their personal and professional visions for this community that that they are able to make an educated vote. The personalities, all of the candidates are really nice people and cordial and so on and so on. So sort of the nice person factor is sort of equalized, right? It's very different if, one particular personality comes out in a debate and someone says, well, based on the way that person is in the debate, I'm voting in 1-2-3 fashion, right? I think the first televised debate in the States was Nixon Kennedy, and Kennedy was very good in front of the camera, but Nixon seemed standoffish and nervous, and based on personality points, policy aside, Kennedy won the debate. I don't think that'll be the case here. These are all nice people. They're well committed to doing this. I think they'll be civil with each other. But that's the hope. The hope is that after the debate, people feel richly informed enough that they can make a decision in June that sort of fits their family life, their vision of the community, their professional sort of trajectory, or their want to remain in this community and continue to work in this community.
Yeah, they keep the council chamber pretty frigid, so I don't think sweating will be an issue. but you're free to pass on this question, but is it an unusual position for you to be in, to be undecided when you're going into moderating a debate?
No, it's not. It's not. I, the role of working for a chamber of commerce, you take on sort of many sides of many issues. Interestingly, so you cover council a lot. I think you covered our budget presentation on transit. The question was put to us by some about, what why would a chamber president be advocating on behalf of transit? And we went through the reasons why and why it matters for our community and why it matters for our economic future. And it was interesting to sort of break down a traditional thought that somebody had about what it is that the business community should be advocating for.
Right.
And sort of on which side of the political spectrum that particular issue deserves to reside on. So because of having to be constantly thinking that way in my professional life, I often go into elections undecided, and debates matter to me, right? So hearing people really present their issues and offer what it is that they intend to do with some specificity and with some conviction, right? I've been to enough debates and watched enough debates to know when somebody's reading from, you know, their X-colored book,
right,
versus that they truly have conviction in the ideas that they're presenting.
Right.
So that'll matter. That'll matter as well.
Well, I am grateful to the many Keithios for taking part in the podcast today.
Oh, gladly.
So, Keithio Mwanza, thank you for joining me. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you.
And once again, that was Keithio Mwanza, the president and CEO of the Guelph Chamber of Commerce and moderator of Tuesday's debate, which you can attend in person starting at 5:30 at Guelph City Hall, or you can watch it live on Rogers Cable 20. For more information, you can check it out at the Chamber website at guelphchamber.com/attend. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate to Guelph Politico's Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca. We will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. Until then, see you next time.